Kemik.
Oh.
Good evening. This evening, we'll be talking about Caleb, as you've already found that out. And Caleb's story is told in Numbers 13 and 14. In Deuteronomy 1, his life is mentioned in Moses' speeches. And then the rest of his story is told in Joshua 14 and 15. And so obviously we're going to start by reading from God's word about Caleb. And so I'm going to summarize a fair bit, but I'm also going to read a fair bit. So if you are trying to follow along, I am starting in Numbers 13, but like I said, I'm kind of skipping around a little bit. The Lord told Moses, send out men to explore the land of Canaan. So 12 spies toured throughout the land. One place which the spies came to was Hebron, where the descendants of Anak lived. After exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to the camp. And this was their report. The country is bountiful, the land flowing with milk and honey. Here's the kind of fruit it produces. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there and the descendants of Anak. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once and take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought too. Now to Numbers 14. Then everyone basically just lost it. If only we had died in Egypt, wouldn't it have been better for us to just to return to Egypt? Let's choose a new leader and go back. So then Moses and Aaron fell face down on the ground before the whole community of Israel. Two of the men who had explored the land, Joshua son of Nun and Caleb son of Jephunneh, tore their clothing. They said to all the people of Israel, the land we traveled through and explored is a wonderful land. And if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us safely into that land and give it to us. It is a rich land flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord, and don't be afraid of the people of the land. They are only helpless prey to us. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. But the whole community began to talk about stoning Joshua and Caleb. Then the Lord said, he would not let Israel step into the promised land, but says, my servant Caleb has a different attitude than the others. He has remained loyal to me, so I will bring him into the land he explored. His descendants will possess their full share of the land. Israel will not enter and occupy the land I swore to give you. The only exception will be Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun. The 10 men Moses had sent to explore the land were struck dead with a plague before the Lord. And then, 45 years after this, then 45 years later, after years in the wilderness and conquering most of the promised land, Joshua records this, and so I will be reading, I think I didn't summarize any of this, I will be reading word for word in Joshua 14, so you can turn there if you'd like. 45 years later, Joshua records this. A delegation from the tribe of Judah, led by Caleb, son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, so Joshua 14, verse 6, Caleb and a group came to Joshua at Gilgal. Caleb said to Joshua, remember what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, about you and me when we were at Kadesh Barnea? It was 40 years when Moses, sorry, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land of Canaan. I returned and gave an honest report, but my brothers who went with me frightened the people from entering the promised land. For my part, I wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. So that day, Moses solemnly promised me, the land of Canaan on which you were just walking will be your grant of land and that of your descendants forever, because you wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. Now, as you can see, the Lord has kept me alive and well as he promised for these 45 years since Moses made this promise, even while Israel wandered in the wilderness. Today I'm 85 years old, and I'm as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey, and I can still travel and fight as well as I could then. So give me the hill country. Your Bible may read mountain. So give me the mountain that the Lord promised me. You'll remember that as scouts, we found the descendants of Anak living there in great walled towns. But if the Lord is with me, I will drive them out of the land, just as the Lord said. So Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave Hebron to him as his portion of land. Hebron still belongs to the descendants of Caleb, son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, because he wholeheartedly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Previously, Hebron had been called Kiriath Arba. It had been named after Arba, a great hero of the descendants of Anak, and the land had rest from war. And now jumping to chapter 15, starting in verse 13, it says, "The Lord commanded Joshua to assign some of Judah's territory to Caleb, son of Jephunneh. So Caleb was given the town of Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, which has been named after Anak's ancestor. Caleb drove out the three groups of the Anakites, all the sons of Anak. From there he went to fight against the people living in the town of Debir, formerly called Kiriath Sepher. Caleb said, 'I will give my daughter, Aksa, in marriage to the one who attacks and captures Kiriath Sepher.' Othniel, the son of Caleb's brother Kenaz, was the one who conquered it, so Aksa became Othniel's wife. When Aksa married Othniel, she urged him to ask her father for a field. As she got down off her donkey, Caleb asked her, 'What's the matter?' She said, 'Give me another gift. You've already given me the land of the Negev. Now please give me springs of water too.' So Caleb gave her the upper and lower springs." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, we thank you for your word. Lord, we just pray that we'd learn from Caleb's life. Lord, that we would follow his example. Lord, that you would encourage us to be faithful men and women for you. Lord, we just pray that your spirit would come and convict us to live a life closer to the calling that you have for us, closer to the Son, Jesus. Amen. So if Joshua is our example of a great leader, then Caleb is our example of a great layman. Joshua is the focal point of a generation and a book of the Bible, but Caleb is just in the backdrop. He is quietly trusting, patiently waiting for his portion of land. If you are called to be a leader, then look to Joshua. If you are called to be a layman, a layperson, a follower, an everyday guy or girl, then look to Caleb. Caleb is 85 years old, and his years are marked by faithfulness. Caleb faithfully followed the Lord. He was wholehearted. He was completely devoted. He did not waver. He was fully obedient. He was totally surrendered. His eyes were on the Lord. He kept his focus on the promises of the Lord. It says six times in the word of the Lord that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. He was an overcomer because he had faith in the Lord. And there are two main times that Caleb's faithfulness shines. And the first is when he spied out the land. His eyes were on the Lord. His comrades' eyes were on the obstacles, the giants, and the walls. But Caleb, after seeing these giants, kept his faith in God. Caleb exclaims in front of all Israel, "Let's take the land." Caleb had faith that God would give him the land, even though it seemed impossible to everyone else. Everyone was focused on the giants of the land, while Caleb was focused on God. The second example of Caleb's faithfulness, 45 years later, Israel, now led by Joshua, had taken most of the promised land. Caleb and Joshua had lived through the 40 years in the wilderness and seen everyone in their whole generation die. Caleb's faith was unwavering again and wants to take the land of the giants. We read in Joshua that there were multiple walled cities in the mountains in the hill country. Caleb says, "Give me this mountain." The mountain was the very reason for others to doubt God. They saw the Anakites and trembled. Caleb saw the Anakites and trusted. When he first saw the land, he said, "Let's take it." And 45 years later, his faith did not change, and he said, "Give me this mountain." These are the two instances of Caleb's faith, but I would like to mainly focus on the second instance. And to do that, we should go to the word of the Lord. Like I said, we'll be spending most of our time in Joshua chapter 14, starting in verse 10. It says, "Now as you can see, the Lord has kept me alive and well, as he promised, for these 45 years since Moses made this promise. Even while Israel wandered in the wilderness, today I am 85 years old. I am as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey, and I can still travel and fight as well as I could then." Caleb was faithful to God because he knew God would sustain. Caleb exclaims that he's just as strong at 85 when he was at 40. Even though everyone else in his generation had wasted away, the Lord kept Caleb strong. Everyone else got weaker and weaker with age, but Caleb was just as healthy, strong, and courageous 45 years later. Caleb didn't trust in his flesh at 85. No, he trusted in God. It was the Lord who kept Caleb healthy through all those years. God was his strength. God said Caleb would inherit the land, and so Caleb is just as courageous and faithful in body and spirit as when he was 40. The Lord is who we are to be faithful to because he is our sustainer. We can see from these texts that Caleb was faithful in the large challenges of life, but Caleb was also faithful with the small details in life as well. If for a moment you can envision Caleb's life, we are really only given two snapshots, one at 40 and one at 85. But that's it. We don't see anything in between. We don't see the hours of him seeking the Lord. We don't see the hours of prayer. We don't see any turmoil. We don't see any doubt. We don't see any of his struggle. In a sense, it isn't fair for me to preach about Caleb and say, you are to be faithful as Caleb was faithful, because all we are really given are these two snapshots, but nothing, like I said, before, between these two events, or after. And we know that no man is godly just because he had two moments of faith. Caleb's circumstances must have been far less than ideal through his 85 years. It was 40 years in the desert. That was desert and death. His mom and his dad did not make it. None of his friends made it. This didn't seem to faze Caleb. You can envision Caleb's relationship with God growing as the rest of the generation was passing away, even through slavery, desert, death, and war, through the small details and large problems, Caleb was faithful. It says in Luke 16, verse 10, if you are faithful in the little things, you will be faithful in the large ones. Caleb was faithful in the small details of life, of which we are never told, and now, when he is approaching a mountain, he said, we see his faith was in the Lord his whole life. What does he say? So give me this mountain, verse 12, that the Lord promised me. You will remember, as scouts, we found the descendants of Anak living there in walled towns. But if the Lord is with me, I will drive them out, just as the Lord said. Does this not speak of his patience? He's 85 years old, 45 years of being patient, waiting. Did you notice that this was the exact same area, though, Hebron, that the other spies had reason to doubt God? The area of the giants, they complained and said, we can never take the land because of the Anakites. They live in walled towns and live in the mountains. But this is the exact area that Caleb wants. Caleb is proving his faith. Is this not astounding? Does not Caleb stand as a man of God and exclaim, this is our land, this is my God, give me this mountain? Here Caleb is 85 years old, and he's been kept strong by the grace and mercy of our Lord. He is an old man, and what does he say? Give me this mountain. We are never too old to make new conquests of faith through the power of the Lord. Like Caleb, we can capture mountains and conquer giants if we wholly follow the Lord. No matter how old we become, we must never retire from trusting and serving the Lord. We are never too old. We are never too old to make new conquests of faith. Likewise, we are never too insignificant to move mountains. We are never too young, simple-minded, or poor to have a great faith in a great God. Joshua 15:15-7 says, from there he went to fight against the people in the town of Debir, formerly called Kirith Sefer. Caleb said, I will give my daughter, Aksa, in marriage to the one who attacks and captures Kirith Sefer. Othniel, the son of Caleb's brother Kenaz, was the one who conquered it, so Aksa became Othniel's wife. Here, the faithful Caleb is taking the promised land, what was promised to him. He pushes out the people living in and around Hebron. He is claiming his portion of God's promise. Then he asks, who will take the land for him? And to me, this seems like a weakness. He just finished saying he's 85 years old and he's strong as he ever was. You know, let's be faithful kind of thing. And then I'm thinking, okay, he's like, but who's going to take the promised land for me? And in fact, I'll even give my daughter in marriage because that might be an incentive for you. But this is not the reason that Caleb puts for this challenge. The reason he puts forward this challenge is because all of his comrades, his whole generation, goes into the here. Well, rather, his comrades go and spy out the land, and he comes back, and his whole generation says, "No, we can't do it. This is too much. Let's just pack up and go home. It was better in Egypt. We were at least eating when we were slaves, and we're just going to be slaughtered by these people here." And so his whole generation had the promises of the Lord, and they stepped back and said, "Whoa, whoa, we can't do this. This is too much for us." And so what does Caleb want to do? He wants to make sure that his daughter is one that is going to marry somebody that is faithful to the God that he is faithful to. He says, "Nobody is going to marry my daughter unless they're as faithful as I am, faithful to the same God that I am faithful to." They needed to claim God's promises, and they need to take that city. They need to take that town. They need to take the land. They need to take the mountain. The older generation must provide for the next generation, not only materially, but most of all, spiritually. Senior saints must be examples to believers and encourage the younger generation to trust the Lord and wholly follow him. That's exactly what Caleb was doing. I'd like to take a minute, though, take a step back and shift our focus from Caleb's faith, from Caleb's faithfulness, to where we are called to be faithful. We are all different. We are all called to different areas. We are all given different gifts. We all have different strengths and weaknesses, callings and passions. 2 Timothy 4:5 says, "Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you." What ministry has God given you? We are all called to different ministries and people. Maybe you're called to your neighbor, your coworker, your family, your friends. Who are you called to? Who are you called to minister to? Who are you loving and pouring your life into? Take a second and think. Where are you called to be faithful to? What's your calling? I am called. I feel like I am called to the people of the North Shore. I feel very called to shine a light at the steel plant. God has not given me a more specific ministry yet, and so I am attempting, by the grace of God, to be faithful to what he has given me, a ministry to my coworkers and to those I meet at Camp Washpacoon. Be faithful to your calling. Be faithful to where God has called you. What is your spiritual gift and how are you using it? I sure pray you have at least an idea of what your spiritual gift is. How is God using it? Without neglecting your relationship with God, with your family, or your church, pour your entire life into your calling. Not your hobby and not your job. Pour your entire life into your calling. Be faithful to your calling. Take a lesson from Caleb and be faithful to follow until you die, until you breathe your last. Give everything to your calling. Will you be able to say, "I did not waste my life on temporary things"? If you are called to be a minister at work or to the guys or girls at work, then guess what? You aren't retiring. You will labor at your calling till you die, and your Savior, your sustainer, will be enough for you. I'm not against retirement. I'm not against saving for retirement, but I am against wasted lives. Pick up your cross and take the promised land. Don't waste your life. This world is doing everything it can to make you waste your life. Unless we make a radical decision to be like Jesus, we are all going to hell as they are. It will take a massive work of grace to save you and I from this culture. Is our culture winning us over? It may be succeeding. TV, sports, shopping, and our phones. Has your calling passed right before your eyes because you were too busy focusing on the so-called pleasures of life? Our ministries need to be focused on with everything that we are. The pleasures we have may be directly affecting our ministries, but they also may be indirectly affecting the whole world. Your pleasures, TV, sports, shopping, whatever they are coming at a cost to the rest of the world. It is a poverty-stricken, unevangelized, uncared for medically. They all drink dirty water and sinks under the weight of us in North America. Almost half the world, over 3 billion people, live on less than $2.50 a day. At least 80% of humanity lives on less than $10 a day. And in Canada, the average wage is $200 a day. That means we make 20 times as much as the rest of the world. Have you ever let that sink in? Have you ever considered that God has entrusted you to be faithful? To be faithful what he's given you? Be wise and don't waste your life with what he's given you. Now, your calling may not be to go to the ends of the earth. Your calling may not be to go to, you know, the majority that makes $10 a day. But that doesn't mean you can't help. It doesn't mean you can't be mindful of those people. But I'm going to assume you are called to help those right here in the Sioux. Doesn't mean we can't help the other people. But because you are here, I'm going to assume that you are called here. And why? Because you are here. Be faithful to put down your pleasures and go and love. Stop watching TV as your downtime. Stop watching sports as your downtime. Stop scrolling as your downtime and start resting in the arms of your Savior. And he will call you. He will show you. He will direct you to your ministry. Do you regularly spend time with God? Do you consistently spend more than 30 minutes a day with the Lord? Or do you reach for your phone or newspaper instead of the Bible? How much time do you spend relaxing with entertainment? I bet you it's more than 30 minutes, and you're probably like, oh, 30 minutes, it's a long time. I pray that we would dwell on the Lord with more time than we put into entertainment. Do you think that the Lord is so weak that he cannot entertain you and give you a thrilling ride? Do you think that entertainment will give you some downtime or rest that the Lord is incapable of bringing to you? The Lord, he will give you rest if you want rest. Do you want to come into the presence of Almighty King Jesus and attempt to explain your wasted life? Do you want to come into the presence of King Jesus and attempt to explain your life? The spiritually impoverished, the unevangelized, the uncared for, hurting souls, the world, the Sioux, people, children, sink under the weight of us who live in comfort. We call ourselves Christians, yet we look completely different than Christ, than our Christ. Your co-workers are dying spiritually. Your friends are dying spiritually. The rest of the world may be dying physically because they don't have the necessities for life, but the Sioux is dying spiritually because they don't have the necessities for spiritual life. And why do they die? Because we love sport. We love TV, phones. We love our money. Give God glory. Repent. I pray he would help me repent. Pray we would live a life faithful as Caleb did. Pour your entire life into your calling. Will the Lord say that you were faithful? I was trying to think of an analogy to describe, to help us get the picture of faithfulness. A story to encourage us to be faithful. But analogy is not what's needed. It's not. Obedience is what's needed. You don't need to hear a nice story. You need to be obedient. I need to be obedient. Caleb was obedient and faithful to his calling to go spy out the promised land. He was obedient and faithful to his calling to take the promised land. You were called to be faithful to your specific calling, and you were called to be faithful in the small details of your whole life, with every minute, with every breath. If you want a picture of faithfulness, look to Caleb. If you want a picture of faithfulness, look to David Wilkerson.
Instead of watching TV in the evening, he followed God's calling. He was faithful to God's calling, a street ministry, and then Teen Challenge was born. You want an image of faithfulness? Look to John, the apostle. At 80 or 90, we heard this morning, he was faithful in the island of Patmos. As Andrew said this morning, be faithful as the great Christians were of past. Be faithful as they were. Our culture gives us an endless excuse and temptation to not be faithful to our calling. For example, Ash and I are considering adoption in a couple of years. And one temptation to not be faithful to our calling is the fear that we don't really know who we're going to get. We may get a child who comes from a completely different gene pool and background. There are so many possibilities for things to not work out, for hurt. But parents are thinking the exact same thing. And possibly the children themselves too. They don't know what they're going to get either. They don't know if things are going to work out. They don't know if they're going to be hurt, and the possibilities for pain are endless. What if it was your child needing a family? What would you say then? What if it was God's child that needed a family? If the Lord is calling us to adopt, I pray we will be faithful. If the Lord is calling us to adopt, I pray we'll be faithful. If the Lord isn't calling us to adopt, and he's calling us elsewhere, I pray we will be faithful. Your calling be one of many, many things. There are many, many needs. Pursue what the Lord has called you to with your whole life. In closing, I'd like to jump to Matthew. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. You can turn there if you'd like. It says, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Matthew 6:19, verse 20. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Where your treasure is, there the desire of your heart will also be. Your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. When your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep the darkness is. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And it continues, and what it continues with is absolutely great. But I would just like to stop there and focus on what it says. We should be absolutely taking from this what it says about money and possessions. Absolutely. Don't store up treasures here on earth. Store up your treasure in heaven. And that's where they're... If that's where you put your desire, your treasure, then that's where your heart's going to end up. We should take from it that. It seems to talk about money, though, and then it seems to talk about light, and then it goes back to money. And I'm thinking, why are we talking about money, then light, then money? I'm confused. It's not actually talking about money, and then light, and then money. It's talking about money, your eyes that see the light, and then money. Because what you are focused on, where your eyes are focused, is how light fills your body. And if you're focused on good things, on the things of the Lord, on the things of God, on light, then your body will be filled with light. And obviously the opposite is true if you're looking at darkness. So it's what your eyes are focused on is what dictates what fills your body. And so, what are you focused on? Because it's what you're focused on that you'll be faithful to. Focus and be faithful to your calling. Caleb was. What are you called to? Be faithful to that calling. Is 90% of your day, 97%, 98%, your day filled with school, food, money, things, cars, your image, your next vacation? No, no, no. Focus on the Lord. Focus on the Lord. Pray continually. Focus on the Lord. Give everything you are to him. What you are focused on tells everyone exactly where your heart is. Focus on our Lord and Savior with every spare waking breath. If you want to be faithful, focus on Jesus. Count everything as loss, money as loss, looks as loss, friends as loss, family, job, success, graduation, all as loss in comparison with the treasure that Christ is. If your passion is for Christ, if your focus is Christ, if everything is Christ, then everyone will see the supreme value of Jesus Christ in your life. I pray that your focus is Jesus Christ. I pray that you are faithful to who he is, because he is worthy. To summarize, be faithful as Caleb was, with the small details as well as the large ones, with your entire life. Don't waste your life, but work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word, but I pray we'd be obedient. I pray we'd be faithful. Lord, I lack, we lack, we are not capable of being faithful. We are not capable of obeying apart from you, Lord. Lord, please shine on us. Let your spirit fall on us. Passionate preaching does not produce transformed lives, does not produce righteous living. Lord, you do. Your word does. Lord, help us to be obedient to your word. Lord, help us to carefully study Jesus. And we pray that we would look more like him. Lord, please. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Sorry to do this, and I don't like to do this, but I am called to be faithful to my wife, and she has to go play ringette, and so I have to go home and watch my son. So I have to scoot out shortly after this. So thanks for listening.